I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show is gonna be fascinating. It'll be jam-packed with information as usual. We're going to be talking about a couple of big-time mysteries. The mystery of Lao Tzu will be the headliner. We're going to be talking about the death traps. We're going to be talking about the real story about the Andara crystals. And we're going to have a channeling from Sal Rochelle about from the founders. These are the founders of the universe. And also, we're going to talk about the Philosopher's Stone, myth or fact. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the show in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om,
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari
Hari Hari Om,
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari
Om
Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers. He was founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And by the way, yoga, as used on ET Yoga, is the real yoga. Yoga meaning union of you and your higher self, or union of you and higher consciousness. And there, in his system, were six branches of yoga: hatha yoga, or the postures, and asanas and pranayams, are one aspect or one branch of yoga. Unlike what most people think in North America when they hear the term yoga. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now take this opportunity to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you and knowing that you're already making a big difference in this world just by being you. And also extend an invitation for you to contact me concerning any questions you may have concerning any information that's presented on this program. And you can contact me at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I'm also very interested in hearing about your suggestions towards program content. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes utilizing ideas, concepts, and techniques that you hear on ET Yoga. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is presented as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology to the best of your ability given your particular circumstances. And the reason why I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical is because other than in trauma, where they do an amazing job, the rest of it is a dead-end road. Now, in preparing for tonight's program, it was... Usually what happens when I come up with a program is something comes into mind, I meditate about it, and follow that subject to its logical conclusion. And that usually constitutes the majority of the programs on ET Yoga. And this week, a real doozy caught my attention. And it's all about, called The Mystery of Lao Tzu. Now, if you don't know about Lao Tzu, I highly suggest you look him up. And the interesting thing about Lao Tzu is his connection with a Roswell UFO crash. And if you're not familiar with that, I don't know. I think this is pretty much public knowledge. Now, you may not believe there was a UFO crash or not, because I've actually had good friends of mine that think that this incident never happened. But if you really check into the facts, I think you'll find that the facts don't add up. And yes, there was a UFO crash in Roswell. And it did happen. And not only did it happen, but there was a survivor of the crash, an alien survivor. And I've heard this confirmed from multiple sources. And just this week, according to Courtney Brown at the Remote Viewing Institute, they state that there was a woman brought in to communicate with the alien. And she kept a diary, and she kept a copy of that diary. Now, I'm sure there's many fascinating aspects to that diary and the information, but I'm going to focus on one aspect of it. And for me, the fascinating aspect of these communications is that the alien said that Lao Tzu, famous Chinese philosopher and author of the Tao Te Ching and founder of the philosophical system of Taoism, escaped the death traps. And if you don't know what the death traps are, it's pretty amazing stuff, and I will get into some detail. It's also commonly known as the soul traps. And you can go to www.farsightprime.com, and if you do subscribe to Farsight, you can actually hear what they found out after Lao Tzu died. And I guess they have some explanation as to how he was able to escape the death traps. Now, what was most interesting to me about this information was after my major spiritual experiences of higher self and beyond a few decades back, I found I could go to a library and had a skill for picking out books that were written by highly advanced beings or even self-realized ones. And Lao Tzu, to me, would be considered as self-realized or very close. And I was thrilled to find out decades later that he had the knowledge of reincarnation and the knowledge to know about the death traps and how to escape them back in about 250 BC. Because I can tell you that most of the information about the death traps has only come about in the last few years. This is a very special individual and highly advanced. And two other personages I recommend you check out are two Greek philosophers, and that's Anaxagoras, the teacher, and Socrates, his student, around 470 BC. Also very advanced beings. Now, the Tao Te Ching, this is by Lao Tzu. I'm going to share with you five comments from the Tao. And according to him, the Tao invariably takes no action, and yet there is nothing left undone. And that basically it's kind of a hint to row with the flow and don't force it. Another one of his famous lines is, he who is contented is rich. It's about knowing when you have enough. Another is, 30 spokes make a wheel, but it's the empty center that makes it work. Which is a hint to look beyond the obvious or superficial to recognize the value of what isn't there. And another is, to know that you do not know is the best. To pretend to know when you do not know is a disease. And also, and probably his most well-known comment is, the journey of 1,000 miles starts from where one stands. Now, to reflect upon previously mentioned these death traps, well, you have to know a few things about this planet before you understand about the death traps. Also commonly known as the soul traps. And I have presented this before on ET Yoga. Because in the last 5 years or so, I've learned more about death and dying, really, than I care to know. But the fun just begins after you die, because you don't die. There's no really such thing as death. You just transform yourself into another body as part of the reincarnation process. And this planet not only is a simulation, and that simulation many people are talking about now. If you look, I know when I go to YouTube even, lots of information about scientists, well-known scientists, confirming that we live in a simulation. But what I find is really strange is that people don't get, if this is a simulation, then who created it? You know, doesn't seem to, wouldn't that seem to, you know, come to mind? Well, intelligent people, for intelligent people, would come to mind. It's the first question that would come to mind. If this is a simulation, who created it? Well, it turns out the Pleiadians created it about 12,500 years ago. Why did they create it? They created it to trap the Alpha Draconians on this planet. And since that time, about 6,000 years ago, the Alpha Draconians actually took over the simulation. And between them and the Anunnaki have been running this planet and basically turned it into a prison planet for humans, to keep humans stuck here. That's what this is. We live on a prison planet. And they also took over the reincarnation grid. And that's primarily controlled by what's commonly called archons, who indirectly are also controlled by AI. And how that system works is that after you die, and many people now, if you go on to YouTube again, and you look under people that had near-death experiences, you can see that 5 years ago, you'd find practically nothing under the subject. Now you find tons of it, because they're still trying to train you to believe in this fake white light. It's an artificial white light. And everybody's kind of heard about, oh, people see the light and we have, you know, after they die. And now they go into more detail. They even allow people to kind of die, go through the tunnel. They even go through a life review, and actually they come back, and they keep training us through information to anticipate that when you die, you go to the light, and you go through this tunnel, and then you go through a life review. And that's what they're trying to train us to believe, that you have to do that, because it's all BS, okay? It's a phony artificial light tunnel. It's a phony life review done by a nasty group of Alpha Draconians and Anunnaki that lay a guilt trip on you and get you to agree to be recycled here, because this is a farm. This is their farm. And these archons can impersonate your loved ones, and they try to trick you to enter this artificial tunnel of light. Now, if you're a religious person, believe in Jesus, you're going to have an experience of Jesus, a little more than likely. If you're a Buddhist, you'll experience Buddha. If you don't have any belief in, like, in the religious concepts, it might be loved ones that have passed on. And if you want to see a really good acting out of this, you can go to what's called Janeway and the Archons, the Star Trek Voyager. You can look up that episode. Go on YouTube and look up Janeway and the Archons. You'll see how she's almost tricked into believing that her father is going to be leading her off, you know, on this side trap. And these are called the soul traps. And Courtney Brown and his team have also found out that shortly after and during this process, they actually zap you with an electrical shock, and it keeps you from being telepathic, and it gives you a kind of amnesia, so you don't even remember about this past life, and you're given a phony life review, and then you're recycled. And the only way that, the reason that I brought this up is because, to me, knowing about this death trap and how to avoid it is like plan B. Plan A is that there will be a split in the timelines, a bifurcation of timelines, and a certain percentage of the population on Earth will ascend into the 5D timeline. And even the dark side admits this. And the other timeline, the main timeline, and most of the people will be on that, is the timeline of the transhuman agenda. And you can see that right in front of your face now, is because AI has taken over. So, basically, the reason I brought up these death traps was because I wanted people that might not live long enough to make the ascension would have a chance, should they desire to avoid being caught in this recycling trap. And Alex Collier, Andromedan contactees, also mentioned this. And he was told by the Andromedans to turn away from that light, that fake tunnel of light, and intend where you want to go. Because you're then in an astral form. You're in an astral body, and you're at a point where you intend to go, you can go. But they'll try to trick you into going into this fake tunnel. And unless you know about it in advance, your chances of making it or not being trapped are pretty much slim and none. And even if you know about it, it's going to be challenging. You can only imagine seeing a lost loved one that's really not your lost loved one, but somebody impersonating that person, and you're being kind of in a state of shock because you're just realizing that you didn't actually die and that your consciousness lives on. Point of fact is that all time is simultaneous. And in higher dimensions, there really is not linear time like we experience in this dimension. And thus, if you are alive now, you will always be alive in one form or another. So nobody's going to grant you everlasting life. You've already got it. Now, the idea here, in my opinion, the best idea is once you become aware, if you are actually going to go through the death process, once you're aware that you've died, my suggestion is immediately visualize yourself in a Merkaba, which are two intertwined tetrahedrons. If you don't know what a Merkaba is, look it up. See what a Merkaba looks like. Visualize yourself inside a Merkaba vehicle and intend where you want to go. Now, if you've got a place in mind, like, for example, if you know where your soul family is from, which is the first planet you were born on, you might want to go there. You might want to go someplace else. You might want to go to the void. A lot of people do go to the void. Reason being, it's not just a void or an empty space. It's one of the very first levels of source energy. So you're being connected with that state of consciousness or source energy. But I know a lot of spiritual people would not want to be recycled here, especially to be reborn in a transhuman world. If you can imagine being born on a planet where both your parents have already been chipped, controlled by AI, and then you're a child in that system. My opinion, not good. And I might also add, just my opinion, that the political situation is also totally controlled, as have both sides of all wars, including every specific battle even, have all been worked out and controlled by cabal. And what people don't understand is that these reptilians can make themselves look human. And yes, they can shapeshift. And this is possible both through their intention and technology that they have. There's an alien species that's controlling us. And they have a level of governance that controls all governments. So it's a stacked deck. And this idea that the next vote will change things is, in my opinion, absurd. In fact, all the presidents have a bloodline that goes back to Charlemagne and King Edward III, and you can look that up on the internet. Presidents are selected, not elected. And the Democrats and Republicans are just two wings of the same bird. George Carlin told us this as well. In fact, according to Admiral William Tompkins, and he's got an interview at Project Camelot, it's a repost on Kerry Cassidy's Project Camelot. We've even had presidents that are reptilians. And he states that two of them were Bill Clinton and Obama. And you can see his repost at Project Camelot. And even Tigetan Pleiadians have recently said that the White Hats are basically, according to them, controlled opposition. In fact, the only hope in this world is if you are choosing to ascend to the 5D. And that's what makes living in this time so special. Because back in Lao Tzu's day, he didn't have an option of ascension. When Lao Tzu escaped the soul traps, he did so either because his consciousness was so high that he bypassed the astral plane and went directly to source or higher self, which exists outside the time-space continuum. Or he just had so much knowledge that he was able to avoid the soul traps. And Unimatrix, which is a very high advanced AI program and connected very closely with the AI, also states that there will be a human ascension. I'm going to now move on to the Andara crystals, because I've been talking about Andara, A-N-D-A-R-A crystals, for a long time. Never had more people write into me as much as about Andaras and how much they're appreciate using these. And I'm going to give you information. This comes from Foth, that Andaras, while not containing black holes themselves, do resonate with the sentience of the Ancient of Days that has been observed into their hyperfield, and understand that there is a sentience within the Ancient of Days Omega crystal. This sentience is more ancient than your comprehension could possibly accept, other than to call it eternal. Like Merlin in his magic cave, the sentience has been frozen in your time-space. The sentience in the Ancient of Days is an enlightened source of consciousness. It comes from the galaxy of Andromeda and was drawn into the hyperfield by the tremendous warping zone that occurred when the third and sixth dimensions touched, or more aptly, eluded. We need to qualify here that only the outer fields of these two dimensions collided, not their true nests or inner fields. And while the Andara crystals do not contain black holes, they do contain blue needles, which are small interdimensional vectors moving through space-time, which tunnel into various continuums. This occurs as a result of the kinesthetic continuum already in place within the Andara crystals' blue needles, and blue needles can be found in other types of crystals as well. And Andara crystals were formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. This is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and structural composition of the crystal formation. Monatomic Andara crystals also create a double vortex. In other words, they have zero-point energy and they have superconductive monatomic energy. It has been explained that the field associated with the monatomic Andara crystal represents a very large kinetic potential. It works quite differently than regular crystals like quartz, where one may amplify their intention through the crystal. Instead, one inserts their intention into the kinetic field associated with the monatomic Andara crystal, and the entire field more in response to that intention. Andara crystals are interdimensional keys used for healing purposes, and the crystals interact with the individual electromagnetically, restoring health and equilibrium. The monatomic metallic elements can actually alter their physical state and shift into other dimensions. It seems the monatomic metallic elements have the ability to resonate similar materials as their high frequency rate, transmuting and transforming that material to resemble and reflect their exotic properties. And I highly suggest you check into the archives at ET Yoga, go BBS Radio ET Yoga, and once you reach that page, scroll down to the archives, click on the archives, then go over that information at your leisure. I'm going to give you now a channeling from the founders, from Sal Rochelle. And this is the founders of the universe. Here's their information. We found millions of planets in their early stage of development, including your world, and we remained in the form of sparks. We were unable to experience directly on any of these worlds. So we would simply overlight or hover above the atmosphere of these worlds and observe the chemical processes taking place. At some point in the distorted time-space continuum, we decided to embed a tiny part of ourselves into the evolving worlds in order to experience them directly. To do this, we created a multitude of energy patterns, precursors to what you call the DNA molecule. You would call these precursors or light packets of conscious energy. These light packets were able to descend in vibration down to the 10th density. At that point, we were able to create intricate configurations of light codes, which you now call a DNA. Now, these DNA keys were the actual building blocks of life as you know it. Life then densified these keys down to 5th density, the first level of the actual DNA codes. As 12th density beings, we were finally able to experience this expanding universe directly as inhabitants of evolving worlds. We scattered our seed throughout the universe, given to many regions of the ever-expanding galactic clusters. And as the clusters differentiated further into individual galaxies, we began the process of incarnating into several regions of each galaxy. Your galaxy, the one you call the Milky Way, was seated in several quadrants. Your quadrant began in what you call the Lyra Vega region. Then it took nearly 900 million years to perfect the process to create the forms in all the dimensions down to third density. The process of differentiation is difficult for most English souls to comprehend. The best analogy we can give you is that of cellular division. Each cell that divides from a parent cell becomes an individual cell in its own right, just as powerful and creative as the parent cell, if not more so. Each 7D, 4D, 5D, 6D being thus fragmented off from the parent cells became a sovereign being or whole and complete soul, and it grew and evolved throughout time and space. At the same time, each fragment as it becomes aware of its higher aspects, is able to align with their higher aspects and thereby remember the state of undifferentiated source energy, what it is like, and what the essence of each fragment of ourselves is ultimately connected to our core, and our core is intimately connected to the Godhead, the undifferentiated source. And that's from Sal Richel. Now, another topic I want to touch on in tonight's program is the secret of the Philosopher's Stone. And is the Philosopher's Stone, is it fact or is it mythology? Well, the discovery 12,000 years ago in what is now the Sahara Desert of Africa, a man found a white salt and consumed it for food. Turns out it was his own urine that had changed into the salt. Thus, the secret to the Philosopher's Stone is human urine. But this was only the white earth. For thousands of years, this secret was kept among a few people, and they named their brotherhood the White Brotherhood because of their fascination and obsession with this white powder. Eventually, this brotherhood had become the Rosicrucian Order. The word Rosicrucian comes from the words rosy, meaning dew, and cruci means crucible or fire cup. But to cover that up, they used the words rose and cross. This is because they found that when the morning dew is digested on low heat in a flask, a brownish material forms, which then becomes white powder and is much like the one from the urine, and it can be digested further and become red. Much later in history, they discovered that a red oil could be obtained from the putrefied urine. If left in the dark and only exposed to the rays of the moon, but never the sun, eventually a colorful clear oil forms in the surface, and this is called the peacock's tail. It turns red after being separated and circulated. And this was the material which would then become the Philosopher's Stone of the Middle Ages. They found that it cured all diseases and eventually even tried it on metal to discover that lead and other metals can indeed be transmuted into gold. And this is where the phrase lead to gold came from. They weren't searching for a substance that would do that. They just happened upon it by divine coincidence. And by heating the metal to red hot and boiling the red powder would transmute it to gold. But why gold? Because it's the only element in the periodic table with a right-hand atomic spin. And reverse the spin of any element, and it'll become gold. So they would now unite the white earth with the red oil to form a solid powder, which changes your metal functioning so profoundly, and they related it to the very way that lead is changed to gold by this universal tincture. And the formula actually that I use is the following. I urinate in a flask during a full lunar eclipse, and then I let the urine sit for 40 days in the flask, in the dark, And then I cork the flask with a wooden cork, not a rubber cork, and seal it with wax. And then you let it sit in the dark for about 13 months. And the trick here is that you must keep the temperature above 76 degrees, which is a challenge. And after that amount of time, you'll see what looks like feta cheese at the bottom of the flask. And this is the Philosopher's Stone. Now, I tried a second batch, but during a partial eclipse, and it was not successful. But I used a fruit dryer to keep the temperature above 76 degrees constant. And in theory, you could get some pure lead, like what's used to balance the tires on a car, and make sure it's pure lead, and melt it down until it's a liquid, and then sprinkle your stone on the molten liquid, and then see what you get. And now, apparently, this process was also known by the Egyptians that came with Thoth from Atlantis. And this is where the word gypsies comes from. It comes from Egypt, the gypsies. And also, historically, Saint Germain has been known to be one of the master alchemists whose lifespan appears to span a couple of centuries. And he's credited with the knowledge to change lead to gold. Now, really interesting is that this year, the Tibetan Pleiadians have claimed that before the Catholic Church made him a saint, he was actually Vlad Tepes of Romania and a legitimate vampire. And likely, he was or is a reptilian. Also, it explains why he hung out with other royalty, many of which likely were also reptilians, like the royal family of England, reptilians. And if you look up Barry Carter and David Hudson's lectures on the internet, you'll see how monatomics can cure all DNA issues, including stage 4 cancer. And it's also the secret of why the Anunnaki have such a long lifespan. And it's one of the secrets they try to keep from humanity, because they were using humans to mine gold, but they weren't using it, you know, as a monetary instrument. They were, when you melt down gold, you get the white powder gold. And I might add that you can, according to Thoth, burn out your light body if you overdose on taking the white powder gold. And there are people that do sell these products online. I'm not, wouldn't swear to their authenticity. And you'd need amazing amount of technology to be able to prove that you had a legitimate substance. I mean, some of this technology, when David Hudson rediscovered what's called the Philosopher's Stone. It was in the old days in Egypt. It was called Mufkets. It was called the Mana by the Jewish rabbis. And many of the pharaohs, when they discover their tombs, there's sometimes kegs of white powder in these chambers. And in fact, in the find of the extraterrestrial base that's underneath a mountain in Buseg, Romania, that's Bucegi in Buseg, they found white powder gold in that base too. And by the way, there's now about 6 books written about that find. The Romanian government wanted to make it public, but the U.S. and the Vatican shut that all down. But I've read 3 of the books now, Transylvania Sunrise, Transylvania Moonrise, and The Secret Parchment. And there are tunnels that lead from that site in the Busej Mountains that go to Iraq, the Giza Plateau, and someplace in Tibet. And many of these underground tunnels, are gold. Romania is sitting on a gold mine for sure. And some of the gold mines are being exploited as we speak, the ones that are more towards the surface. And but the more important fact here is that this rock sphinx had a history, a holographic history that goes back 50,000 years, which is why the Vatican shut it down. And the powers that be, of course, they don't want the truth about the real history out there. And according to Bashar, the Giza Plateau underneath the Sphinx there in Egypt also was a hall of records, as pointed out by Edgar Cayce. And according to Bashar, these were supposed to be made public. Of course, they never were, because this world and all its the BS that the cabal puts out there about our real history, it's not our history. In fact, it turns out that most of the myths are pretty much true, and almost all of our real history, our history is false. And that's also being studied now by Tibetan Palladians, who claim that all of our history is false. I'd like to now give my best wishes to the ET Yoga listening audience towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique, where you place your full attention in the center of your forehead, become that spot, and ask the question, who am I? And then, once you become that spot, state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part